Amen. A great many thanks for our praise team and our choirs as we're learning and growing, and they're leading us without a worship leader. And we hope to have one soon, and we can be giving thanks to them for the work that they are putting in. This is our lay people, just a couple very low paid staff. And you know, this is ministry. It's the church. It's the people of God leading, using their gifts and talents to lead us in worship. It's awesome. See what God can do in the lives of the church and the lives of people. And by the way, as we want to pray for Jim and Deborah, who are going to be coming. They're stepping out on faith to come out to this island. She's put in several applications. You know, she's a school teacher, and they want to come, and they feel like God is leading them to this place. And in your prayers, lift them up. You know, lift up Deborah, that she'll be able to find a job, you know, close by in the area. We can do that. We can do that as the people of God. And we know that God answers prayer. We know that. The scripture tells us, call upon him. And we've had several requests this evening. God is in the, he is with us. He is, the scriptures will tell us. You know, I'm going to read the scripture to you in a few moments. And, you know, we get into the John the Baptist part, which is the last part of that scripture that I want us to hear. And so let us hear the word of God as we, it is given for us today. From Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12, okay, hear the words. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of your repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit, it's cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, his winnowing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this word. We ask your blessings now upon the word as it goes forth, as it touches the hearts of all your people gathered here. We ask your blessings upon the preacher, and upon this word that we have for us today, and upon all those who with boldness would stand up and preach the gospel of Christ and live out the gospel of Christ in everything that we do. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Company is coming. What do we do? All of a sudden, somebody tells us, we've got visitors coming to our home. We got to get ready. We got to get prepared. I know you do it, and we do it. We're in the season of Advent. If somebody says we're coming by to visit, depending on whether they want to stay in a bedroom or whatever part of the house it is, you know, the broom comes out, the dust mop, we got to get everything ready, get everything prepared for them to come. That's what we do. We want to make sure that we tidy up the house the best that we can to make it as presentable as we can when visitors come by. And so we're in the season of Advent. And as we go through the Advent season, that's what we're doing. Each Sunday when we gather to prepare our hearts and souls to celebrate the coming of the Christ child. In the day of John the Baptist, remember we sang the song, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus"? That meant something for them in those days. There had been 400 years of silence. The nation of Israel was under Roman occupation. They were yearning. They were seeking for someone, for something, for somebody to come and relieve them of their burden. You know, they were looking for some way or something. The religious community, while it had started out with good intentions, you know, the temple and the sacrifices and all those things, they had started out in the right way. But somehow along the way, things had gotten off track. Even the priests, even the Sadducees, even the Pharisees, none of them were giving the people or leading the people and guiding them and what they needed. They needed something. They needed something to stir them up. They needed something to change their lives, to let them know that there is hope, even in the world in which they were a part of, that there's something out there they can grab a hold of that will give them peace, that will take away, you know, the anxiety that they had. The common people needed, the world needed a light. They needed to be refreshed. You know, on the computer, we hit that thing, so it says refresh when we get stuck. They needed to be refreshed. And you know what? Nothing has changed. As we go through life, all of us from time to time, we need to be refreshed. So we hear this story of John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness. Israel and the people of Israel had not had a prophet. They'd been living in darkness for the word of God. Oh, they, you know, they had the religious stuff going on, but it wasn't firing up folks. You know, it wasn't changing lives. They were just kind of going through the motions. And so after 400 years of darkness, of no prophetic word. You know, they had been reading about all these great prophets from before, the Jeremiahs and the Isaiahs and all these, but nothing was happening. And so, after those 400 years, a word comes. Come, thou long expected Jesus. They were waiting. They were waiting with bated breath for something or someone to change the world, to change them on the inside. And so out of the wilderness comes this man named John the Baptist. And now John the Baptist was a preacher. He came preaching and preparing the way for the Messiah. Now, the scriptures tell us that the people that were in the center of Jerusalem around, you know, the temple where everything took place. You know, everything always takes place in the city, right? Everybody wants to go to the city because everybody says, well, there's a lot more going on in the city. There's a lot more things to do in the city. Haven't you ever heard that? Yeah, what are they saying? Well, my life's bored. I need to be somewhere where, you know, I can find something to do those nights when I don't have anything else to do. And so people like the hustle and bustle of the city. And the city here in Jerusalem, that was also the center of the temple. That was the religious center. John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness. What does the scripture say? the folks in the city and the people went to the margins of the wilderness to hear John the Baptist, because he had a prophetic word that he wanted to give and that he wanted to teach. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they all went out to hear this preacher. Now, did they have good intentions? Probably not. You know, they went out with their knowledge and with their religious robes and with their pompous attitudes to say, well, this guy isn't really authentic. You know, he's not going to be the authentic person here. And so they went out with ulterior motives. But there were other people that also went out to hear this preacher. Now, John the Baptist was not an ordinary preacher like today. The person of John the Baptist, as we read around, John the Baptist was tough-minded, straightforward, and a no-nonsense preacher. You ever seen one of those in the last few years? Tough-minded, straightforward, no-nonsense preacher. I was reading about this one preacher as I was preparing for this, and this guy preached from 1836 to 1921. His name was Alexander White. They said that this preacher who preached at Free St. George's Church in Edinburgh, it was said that White could be so direct and penetrating that to hear him preach was to take your life into your own hands. Now that's a preacher. That's a preacher. Tell you that to hear him preach was to take your life into your own hands. And whether they knew it or not, those folks that were coming to hear John the Baptist, who went to hear him in the wilderness, were doing the same thing. They were taking their life in his hands. And as we hear John the Baptist bring this message, we are reminded that he pulled no punches in bringing that word. Will Willimon and John Arahas, who were professors at Duke Divinity School, said that, there was a book they were collaborating on. And they made the point of saying, indeed, one of us is tempted to think that there's not much wrong with the church that could not be cured by God calling about 100 really insensitive, uncaring, and offensive people into ministry. And they said John the Baptist was one of those 100. That's the kind of preacher he was, as he came to preach the word of God. You know, back in John comes now with this message of preparing the way for the Messiah. You know, he wasn't the one bringing the message, but he was saying, one who's coming that will fulfill this prophetic word that I am bringing to you today. And back in those days when people knew company was coming, you know, they would fill the potholes in the road leading to the house and made sure that everything was ready for the Messiah to come. But John's preaching wasn't about what was going on the outside. It wasn't about getting the secular ready. It wasn't about getting the material ready. John's message of hope was about what is going on the inside. John was concerned about the hearts, that the people of God began to set themselves up and began to be sensitive to what to the message that Jesus Christ was going to bring to them. And so as we look at these scriptures, we are reminded of several things. One is, as the people came out to visit him, we are told that the Pharisees and Sadducees came out. And that John the Baptist, in his insensitive, nonsensical way, called them out. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. Now, John knew about snakes because he came out of the wilderness. And he talked about, you know, a burning fire that would take them, that would consume them. As John would see these fires come across the plain, he could see who would see the snakes scurrying about, trying to get to a safe haven. But you know what? Some of them didn't make it. Not all of them escaped. And so he came down on these religious leaders because he knew, just like Jesus knew, he knew what was going on. He knew their hearts. He knew what was going on the inside, and he knew they just came out to watch him and to be a part of the community that was gathered there. They'd already made up their minds that they were not going to change on the inside. And that's what John the Baptist was calling them to do. And you know, change is hard, isn't it? We don't want to change. Change is hard for all of us, for every person. And so in a way, you know, we can sort of relate to all those people that come out to see, that have come out to see John the Baptist. You know, he's calling for change. And it's not as easy as we think it is it? Just think about your own life. Think about your own habits. Think about your own personal idiosyncrasies. Think about your relationships. You know, we develop habits over time, and some of those habits aren't good. Some of those habits don't lead to peaceful relationships. Some of those habits don't lead to good, healthy lives. Some of those habits don't lead to good spiritual lives. And sometimes we go through those motions thinking, I need to change, I want to change, but I don't know how to change. You know, recently, over the last few weeks, I began to read a book that someone recommended to me. And it was called Eat to Live by author. Some of you maybe know the book. But the author of the book is Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And the reason this book appealed to me was because I had some things in my own healthy lifestyle that I thought was healthy. You know, I've been walking and I've been doing those things. All of you know I've told you about my pedometer and all that I have on. But some things still weren't right. Over the last 3 or 4 years, I'd been fighting high blood pressure for me, and my cholesterol was above 200. Even though, you know, I was walking, I was doing the things I was supposed to do, I got to reading this book, and I realized, but I wasn't eating, I wasn't doing the right stuff. And so I decided, the author challenged me, he said, take 6 weeks and go by what I'm telling you to do. You know, eat the things that I'm telling you to eat. It's not a diet. Just do, you know, what the scriptures tell us to do things. Just do this. Be obedient to what God tells us to what Jesus tells us to do. Do you know? I weighed about 168, 170 pounds, and I was fighting all of these things. I'd been on cholesterol medicine. They put me on blood pressure. And I didn't want to be on those things. I said, there's got to be another way. Just like the people of Israel were saying, you know, in those 400 silent years, there's got to be some hope here. There's got to be another way. I did it. Michelle helped me. She helped. She was right there. We'll do this, Jerry. She was concerned. Because, you know, we hear about the side effects of this medicine, that medicine. Do you know that I lost down to 156 pounds just doing those things? I go to the doctor, being on this this lifestyle thing, every 6 months we have to go and we have to get our vitals checked. Not because of a drug, but because of eating the right foods that God puts out there for you and for me to have. My cholesterol came down to 180. My blood pressure was down to 120. Over 80 the way it's supposed to be. And I was amazed. I said, I can't believe it. I don't need to be on this anymore. I don't need to be on that anymore. Because I was willing to make a change in my life. And so, yes, people look at me and say, well, preacher, you've lost some weight. Those few pounds made a huge difference in my life because I wanted to change. And it was a different way to live. So John the Baptist now calls on the people of Israel to change. Some don't want to do it. But we are told that there are other people that came there that they were baptized. And that their sins were taken away. And that that baptism there, that water baptism that they had, was a symbol of their willingness to change and of their willingness to hear what God had to say and to prepare their lives for this Messiah that was coming. And this Messiah was going to change the whole way the world looked at living the Christian life, living their religious life. I don't want to call it religious life because it's a Christian life. It's a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, some of them didn't want to do it. The Pharisees and said they didn't want to do it. They wanted to continue in that spiritual darkness. They were in a wilderness of their own. You see, they were in a wilderness. It wasn't a physical wilderness like John the Baptist came out of. It was a spiritual wilderness. It was a wilderness that was going to lead them to destruction, just like those vipers he talks about. The axe is being cut, you know, it's going to be cutting down the trees at the root. They thought because that they were a part of, the original covenant, and because they were Abraham's children, that they were automatically received into the kingdom of God. And they didn't think they had to do anything. Just be who they were. That's not the way it works, folks. That is not the way it works. And they were in the wilderness. And you know, we're not only in the wilderness one time. As we go through life, we find ourselves in different kinds of wildernesses. I was in one. But we have hope. And, you know, maybe you're in a wilderness right now in your own life. You know, in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own difficulties. But we can come out of that. Isn't that marvelous? We can come out of that because we have a hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Emmanuel has come. We don't have to wait with bated breath like those folks did 2,000 years ago. He has come. He has given us the victory. He teaches us how to live from day to day. Why is it so difficult for us? to hear it? Why do we want to stay in that same pattern? Why do we want to be lost? You know, repentance is about change. It's about turning around. The Greek word is metanoia. Turn around. Change. You can do it. You can do it. I can do it. All of us can do it because Jesus Christ gives us His Holy Spirit and His power to change. Now, you know, John the Baptist was not speaking words of grace to those folks that came out to hear him. He was speaking words of judgment. And we don't want to hear that in the church today. We want to love everybody, lift everybody up. Speak words of kindness. Speak words of hope. There's a place for that. But there also comes a time when we have to speak words of reality and words of change. And remind folks, if you don't change this road that you're on, you are going to be lost forever. Because that road leads to destruction. It leads to a place that no person wants to be and needs to be. How about you today? What do you need to change? What will it take to motivate you to change? To motivate your family and friends to change? How difficult is it going to be? What do you need to do to make it happen? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit can make it happen. And Jesus calls you and me to live out our baptism. When we are baptized into the church, whether we're sprinkled or whether we are immersed, when we give our lives to Christ, whether it's in the church or out of, we are supposed to live a life of hope and live a life that exudes the presence of Christ. See, it's not about roots, it's about fruits. And if we're not bearing fruit and I'm not bearing fruit, then maybe there's something that needs to change in my life and in your life. It's not, baptism is not a religious thing. Coming to church is not a religious habit that we do. We are to live it, breathe it, teach it, and be an example of it. Fruits. Fruits. How about you? What do you need to change? What do you need to do to be the person that God calls us to be? Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the hope that is in us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we live in a world in which judgment just doesn't seem to be a part of the vocabulary. We live in a world where we are called to speak love and grace and mercy, and that's okay. But Lord, we also live in a world where people are on the road going in the wrong direction. And we have the hope of Christ. We have the good news of the gospel that we can bring to bear. And God, I pray that we too would bear fruits of our calling. Lead us, guide us, show us how it can be done. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing together our closing word on the screen.